Pablo, God doth give successful end to this debate that bleedeth at our doors. Will our youth lead on to higher fields and draw no swords but what are sanctified? Our navy is pressed, our power collected, our substitutes in absence well invested, and everything lies level to our wish. Only we lack a little personal strength and pause us till these rebels now afoot come underneath the yoke of government.
Which we doubt not, but your majesty shall soon endure.
Humphrey, son of Gloucester, where is the prince, your brother?
I think he's gone to hunt, my lord, at Windsor.
And how accompanied?
I do not know, my lord.
Is not his brother, Thomas, of Paris with him?
No, my good lord, he is in presence here. What would my lord and father?
Nothing but well to thee, Thomas of Paris. How chance thou art not with the prince, my brother. He loves thee. Thou dost neglect him, Thomas. Thou hast a better part in his affection than all thy brothers. Cherish it, my boy, and noble offices thou mayst effect of mediation after I am dead between his greatness and thy other brethren. Therefore omit him not. Blunt not his love, nor lose the good advantage of his grace by seeming cold. Careless of his will, for he is gracious. If he be observed, he hath a tear for pity, and a hand open as day for melting charity. Yet notwithstanding being incensed, his flint, as humorous as winter, and as sudden as flaws congealed in the spring of day, his temper therefore must be well observed. Chide him for faults, and do it reverently, when you perceive his blood inclined to mirth. But being moody, give him line and scope, that his passions, like a whale on ground, confound themselves with working. Learn this, Thomas, and thou shalt prove a shelter to thy friends. A hoop of gold to bind thy brothers in, that the united vessel of their blood, mingled with venom of suggestion, as force for force the age will pour it in, shall never leak, but it do work as strong as aconitum or rash gunpowder. Why are
he is not there today. He dines in London.
And how accompanied? And thou tell that?
Poins and other his continual followers.
This subject is the fattest soil to weeds. And he, the noble image of my youth, is overspread with them. Therefore, my grief stretches itself beyond the hour of death. The blood weeps from my heart when I do shape in forms imaginary the unguided days and rotten times that you shall look upon when I am sleeping with my ancestors. Or when his headstrong riot has no curb, when rage and hot blood are his counselors, when means and lavish manners meet together. Oh, with what wings shall his affections fly to fronting peril and oppose decay?
Lord, you look beyond him quite. Prince but studies his companions. Like a strange tongue wherein to learn the language, 'tis necessary that the most immodest words be looked upon and learnt. Which of change your highness knows, comes to no further use but to be known and hated. So like Rose turns, the prince will, in the perfectness of time, cast off his followers. And their memory shall, as a pattern or a measure, live by which his grace must meet the lives of others, turning past evils to advantages.
It is seldom when the bee doth leave her comb in the dead carrier.
Who's here?
Westman. Help to my sovereign, and new happiness added to that that I am to deliver. Prince John, your son doth kiss your grace's hand. Mowbray, the bishop's group, Hastings and all, are brought to the correction of your law. There is not now a rebel sword unsheathed, but peace puts forth her olive everywhere.
Oh, Westmoreland, thou art a summer bird, whichever in the haunch of winter sings the lifting up of day.
And there's more news. Earl Northumberland and the Lord Bardolph, with the great power of English and of Scots, are by the Shreve of Yorkshire, Northumberland.
Wherefore should these good news make me sick?
Will fortune never come with both hands full? But write her fair words still in foulest letters.
She either gives a stomach and no food, such are the poor in health, or else a feast and takes away the stomach. Such are the rich that have abundance and enjoy it not. I should rejoice now at this happy news. And now my sight fails, and my brain is giddy. Oh, me, come near me. Now I am much in
comfort, your majesty.
Oh, my royal father. My sovereign lord, cheer up yourself. Look up.
Be patient, princess. You do not be fit with his highness. Very ordinary. Stand from him. Give him air.
You're strictly well.
Oh, no. He cannot long hold out these pangs. The incessant care and labor of his mind have brought the mirror that you confined in so thin.
Life
will break up.
This apoplexy will certainly be his end.
Stop!
Oh, you can't. I am here, brother.
Full of heaviness.
I'm within doors and none abroad.
Exceeding ill.
The good news yet? Tell it him.
He altered much upon the hearing it.
It is simply joy to recover without physic.
What is my lord's? Sleep now. The king, your father, is disposed to sleep. Let us withdraw into the other room.
Is it your grace to go along with us?
No. Sit and watch here by the king. Why did the crown lie there upon his pillow? He's a troublesome bedfellow. Oh, polished perturbation. Golden care. Keeps the ports of slumber open wide to many a watchful night. Sleep with it. Not so sound and half so deeply sweet as he whose brow with only big and bound snores out the watch of night. O Majesty, when thou dost pinch thy bear, thou dost sit like a rich armor worn in heat of day, scorched with safety. In these gates of breath there lies a downy feather which stirs not. Suspire that light and weightless down before us must move.
My gracious lord. My father.
Sweet son, indeed. It is a sleep in this golden wrinkle have divorced so many English kings. Thy due for me is tears and heavy sorrows of the blood, which nature
and feel tenderness.
Sure.
Oh, dear father. Baby Clintis.
My due from thee is this imperial crown.
It is immediate to thy place and blood. Derives itself to me.
Lo, where it sits, God shall guard.
Put the world's whole strength into one giant arm. Shall not force this lineal honor from me.
This from thee will I to mine leave, as 'tis left to me.
What? Lost thy parents?
What do my parents?
Affairs, my lord.
Why did you leave me here alone, my lord?
We left the prince, my brother, here, my liege, who undertook to sit and watch.
By you? Prince of Wales?
Where is he? Find him, he is not here.
The door is open, he has gone this way.
He came up through the chamber where we stayed.
Where is the crown?
Who took it from my pillow?
But then we drew, my lord, we left it there. The prince hath ta'en it hence.
Go seek him out. Is he so hasty that he doth suppose my sleep, my death? Find him, my lord of Warwick. Tied him hither. This part of his conjoins with my disease and helps to end me. See, sons, what things you are. How quickly nature falls into revolt. When gold becomes her object. For this, the foolish, over-careful fathers have broke their sleep with thoughts, their brains with care, their bones with industry. For this, they have been thoughtful to invest their sons with arts and martial exercises. When, like the bee, pulling from every flower the virtuous sweets. Our thighs with wax, our mouths with honey packed, we bring it to the hive. And like the bees are murdered for our pains. This bitter taste. But wherefore did he take away the crown?
Lo, where he comes.
Come hither to me, Harry. Depart the chamber, leave us here alone.
I never thought to hear you speak again.
Thy wish was father, Harry, to that thought. I stay too long by thee. I weary thee. Dost thou so hunger for mine empty chair that thou wilt needs invest thee with my honors? Before thy hour be ripe.
Oh, foolish youth. Thou seek'st the greatness that will overwhelm thee. Stay but a little. For my cloud of dignity is held from falling with so weak a wind. That it will quickly drop. My day is dim. Thou hast stolen that. Which after some few hours were thine without offense. And at my death thou hast sealed up my expectation. Thy life did manifest thou lovest me not. And thou wilt have me die assured of it.
What canst thou not forbear me half an hour? Then get thee gone and dig my grave thyself. And bid the merry bells ring to thine ear that thou art crowned, not that I am dead.
Let all the tears that should bedew my hearse be drops of balm to sanctify thy head. Only compound me with forgotten dust. Give that which gave thee life unto the worms. Pluck down my officers. Break my decrees. For now a time is come to mock at form. Harry the Fifth is crowned. Up, vanity. Down, royal state. All you sage counselors, hence. And to the English court, assemble now from every region, apes of idleness. For the Fifth Harry, from curved license, plucks the muzzle of restraint, and the wild dog shall flesh his tooth on every innocent. Oh, my poor kingdom, sick with civil blows, when that my care could not withhold thy riots, what wilt thou do when riot is thy care? Oh, thou wilt be a wilderness again, peopled with wolves, thy old inhabitants.
My liege, but for my tears, the moist impediments unto my speech, I had forestalled this dear and deep rebuke. Ere you with grief had spoken, I had heard the course of it so far. There is your crown, and he that wears the crown immortally long guarded yours. If I affect it, more than is your honor, and as your renown, let me no more from this obedience rise. My most inward, true, and duteous spirit teaches prostrate and exterior bending. God witness with me, when I here came in and found no course of breath within your majesty, how cold it struck my heart. If I do feign, oh, let me in my present wildness die. I never lived to show the incredulous world the noble change that I have purposed. To look at, and then almost my leash to think you were. Snake under the scroll.
Care on thee depending, hath fed upon the body of my father. Therefore, thou best of gold, art worst of gold. Otherless, fine in carat is more precious, preserving life in medicine possible. But thou, most fine, most honored, most renowned, hast set thy bearer up.
Thus my lips, royal liege, accusing it, I put it on my head. To try with it, as with an enemy that had before my face murdered my father.
The quarrel of a true inheritor. But if it did infect my blood with joy, swell my thoughts to any strain of pride, if any rebel or vain spirit of mine did with the least affection of a welcome give entertainment to the might of it, let God forever keep it from my head, and make me as the poorest vassal is, that doth with awe and terror kneel to it.
Oh, my son, God put it in thy mind to take it hence, that thou mightst win the more thy father's love, pleading so wisely in excuse of it. Sit down by my bed, and hear, I think, the very latest counsel that ever I shall read.
God knows, my son,
by what bypaths and indirect crooked ways I met this crown, and I myself know well how troublesome it sat upon my head. To thee it shall descend with better quiet, better opinion, better confirmation, for all the soil of the achievement goes with me into the earth. Seemed in me but as an honor snatched with boisterous hand, and I had many living to upbraid my gain of it by their assistances, which daily grew to quarrel and to bloodshed, wounding supposed peace. All these bold fears are ceased with peril, I have answered it. For all my reign hath been but as a scene acting that argument. And now my death changes the mood.
for what in me was purchased falls upon thee in a more fair suit, so thou the garland rests successively. Yet though thou standst more sure than I could do, thou art not firm enough, since griefs are green, and all my friends, thou must make thy friends, have but their stings and teeth newly ta'en out. By whose spell working I was first advanced, and by whose power I well might lodge a fear to be again displaced, which to avoid I cut them off, and had a purpose now to lead out many to the holy land, lest rest and lying still might make them look too near unto my state. Therefore, my Harry, be it thy course to busy giddy minds with foreign quarrels, that action hence borne out may waste the memory of the former days.
And more would I, but my lungs are wasted so that strength of speech is utterly denied me. Oh, I came by the crown. Oh, God forgive and grant it may with thee in true peace live.
And gracious liege, you won it, wore it, kept it, gave it me. Then plain and right must my possession be, which I, with more than with a common pain, against all the world, will rightfully maintain.
Doth any name particular belong unto the lodging where I first did swoon?
Tis called Jerusalem, my noble lord.
Ah, Lord, is it God? Even there my life must end. It hath been prophesied to me many years I should not die but in Jerusalem, which vainly I supposed the Holy Land, but bear me to that chamber. There I'll lie. In that Jerusalem shall Harry die.